Welcome in to another edition of the Tapping the Keg podcast, episode 390. Mitch on the other side of the Zoom, Charlie here with it, hanging in there. It is earlier than usual here. It's Tuesday, October 27th. Happy birthday to my guy, Shay Ken. But it's a little earlier for us, but we're back at it. Mitch, how are things? It's quick turnaround for us. The old Tuesday or Thursday Tuesday for us on the podcast.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's the way it worked out for us this week. So I mean, there is stuff to talk about. So
for sure,
we are just fine.
Well, I think it's part of it. Like, we're both sports fans. Like, we don't want to be taping during a game seven. Like, let's be real. Like, if there's a game seven, which I think there will be, we don't want to tape during that. And then, secondly, it brings back fond memories, Mitch, of us doing this every Monday night in the fall and the winter when you had to do Admirals, center ice.
Yeah. That was some years ago, probably. It's been probably 2 or 3 years.
Right. Yeah, no, I think I was still living with my parents at that time. So yeah, I think even longer. But yeah, that really was Tuesdays used to be Tapping the Keg Day. Now we've bumped that day around throughout the years. But we got a good show today, as you mentioned. Topics to talk about with the Packers and Vikings upcoming this weekend. We'll talk about, you know, who is the Packers' biggest rival for the next years. I think that answer has changed this season of all seasons. And then I also think we'll also talk about why the NBA restart, all of a sudden the news came out, Mitch and I clamoring for it. Was that last week, 2 weeks ago? It is now all out there. A lot of rumors flying around, but why that could favor the Bucks. And yes, your regular season Bucks could be added again. The RSP is. And then we will talk about just throwing out the Badger season and how bad we feel for Graham Mertz if, in fact, he does have the cocoa. But we'll talk about that all. But first, obviously, starting with the Green Bay Packers, I feel like you can't be a Wisconsin podcast, Wisconsin radio show, and not talk about the Packers first. As mentioned yesterday on Daily Tap, it's a great win. I think it was one of those that – it was all business. It was a business trip. They went down there. They kicked Houston's ass. They went home, and now it's on to Minnesota. Mitch, did you have any takeaways, anything that surprised you, anything that just stood out to you in Sunday's victory against the Texans?
I mean, that game went about as I expected. I think I had the Packers winning. I think I said 31-20, ended up being 35-13.
35-20. They got a late touchdown.
Oh, that's right. 35-20. So that's right. They did score. It's like a couple minutes left. I hope that didn't hurt anybody's financial situation too bad.
It almost ticked it over. We almost got the over, but we did get a Will Fuller touchdown. Who Jair Alexander? I don't know if I mentioned this on this podcast, but Jair Alexander has tormented one fantasy team of mine for the last 3 weeks. And it's just,
he's been terrible. He's turning into, I heard Wayne and Rock say on the radio broadcast at the end of the game, how, and I agreed, like how, you know, he doesn't have the interception numbers, but there's a reason for that. You know, guys are starting to not throw in his direction, which is, you know, I feel like the Packers have had a tough time the last few years without a shutdown corner. I don't know who the last real shutdown corner they would have had was. I mean, Sticky Shields was pretty good for a while there.
Yeah,
Sam I don't Shields know if was he good. Was if he was like a top five corner.
No.
But I
no.
think Jair is pretty much in that category.
Right.
And I think, you know, what puts him over the top too is his personality and his confidence, if you will.
For sure.
Certainly helps him. But I think game-wise was good. I mean, it went about as well as you expected. Packers got whatever they wanted on offense. The defense, once again, was good. I mean, it was, you know, 35-20 game wasn't even that close, right? It was, it had a little feel of the Vikings game from week one, where it was just the Packers did everything. Davante Adams had a monstrous day once again, and it all seemed to come within the flow of everything. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers had no trouble at all. Now, I think the big, kind of the biggest storyline out of the game is the whole J.J. Watt thing.
Yeah, that's sort
I
of blew
I wanted to discuss this with you because it's like it, I mean, it hasn't gotten full run, you know, just one day after the game, but I think that's going to come probably, if it doesn't come today, probably by Wednesday on some of the local sports talk shows, where the way JJ just kind of pouted throughout the whole game. I mean, he made a couple plays, but when he made plays, he wasn't celebrating. He was just all business. He had the short answers after the game, you know, where clearly being pissed off to the media and sort of sending signals that he's very, very frustrated with his situation. And I don't know if it, we'll have to see how he does, because, well, they have a bye coming up, the Texans do, but that seemed to me like an indication that, you know, teams out there that are looking for defensive ends and defensive pass rushers and linemen, hand in the ground type guys, I mean, come get me, because he was, I mean, JJ Watt's never the type of guy that's going to say, I want out. But I don't know what's worse for the team.
I love it. Mitchie body language here. Body language, Dr. Pratt.
Definitely.
No, I mean,
definitely.
I think that's true. I didn't consider that, because I had a lot of people on my timeline, coincidentally, not Badger fans, who are like, this JJ Watt thing is overblown. We also had Greg Matzik, who had no idea how non-guaranteed money works, and I had to explain that to him. I was like, you know, is like, contract doesn't matter next year. Like, it's a rental. He's like, well, you know, the contracts. I'm like, no, it's a rental, Greg. Like, it's okay. Like, you could sign him if you wanted to. But I do think for the he wasn't effective. And I didn't really notice that. I didn't pay that close attention. But if that's the case, then yeah, maybe there is a little something to that. Maybe he is kind of being like, I want out. And the thought is, by a lot of like the NFL insiders, that a trade's going to happen on like Thursday or Wednesday of this week because of the COVID stuff and the COVID protocols they have to go through. And it's not going to happen on the actual like deadline, which is the third, I believe it's election day, I believe. Cause some Deadspin writer got all fucking pissed that Adam Schefter said like 3 weeks till the most important day of the year, the NFL trade deadline. It was, you know, like dad joke, Schefter, and she just fucking just lost her shit. But you know, that's what a broken brain does to you, Mitch. That's what happens when your brain is a fried egg. But anyways, here nor there, you have a situation where, yeah, maybe the Packers do. I will say this. I was keen on watching the defensive line, and I noticed that Dean Lowry was nowhere to be found on obvious passing downs. They put in Montrevious Adams. They put in Billy Winn, who's out, was up from the practice squad. They wanted nothing on Dean Lowry in passing downs. And that to me was like, if you want to say what's the one thing you're encouraged by, that Mike Pettine wasn't stubborn. Mike Pettine brought more blitzes. Mike Pettine was aggressive down near the red zone. Those were all really, really good things.
You mean he heard the outside noise, Charlie? No.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, even the Chandon Sullivan shit, like, it was frustrating that Chandon Sullivan, like, let Deshaun Watson go, or, you know, he didn't keep contained. But he's going to learn. Like, at my point yesterday on Daily Tap was like, if that's Kirk Cousins back there, that's a sack. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Deshaun Watson's a special kind of guy. He's going to be able to get away from something like that. So I am not necessarily, like, you know, dismayed by Chandon Sullivan's game. Yeah, I didn't have a great game. So what? But the Packers do have to do something about the middle of the field. I think that's, if you're like, what are the two things that I'd be worried about from this one? It's the middle of the field is the biggest one. Randall Cobb just went to fucking town, and just, they had everything in the middle. And as I said yesterday, you got to clean that up before George Kittle in 2.5 weeks or 1.5 weeks. You have 1.5 weeks to figure this out before you got to play George Kittle. And if you don't, he's going to have 20 catches. And just hope you're not playing him in fantasy. That's really that's really the motto.
Well, and that's just it, because a lot of Packer fans out there are, you know, sure they're pleased with the win, but at the end of the day, it's a one and six team that you beat. And I know the Texans are probably a little bit more talented than that, but they're still a team that's in complete, you know, disarray without a real head coach. And, you know, it's just sort of they're playing out the string at this point this year, and they may make a few moves. And I think Packer fans are just kind of waiting for that next big game to see if they can get it done.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you'd rather see a 4-touchdown day from Rodgers than a 2-interception, you know, 0-touchdown day or whatever it was last week. But I think there's a lot of people that are not, you know, convinced of anything yet. And, you know, some of the Super Bowl talk that we had earlier is not, you know, I think that it got kind of snuffed out a bit last week, but I think, and I don't necessarily think it's back on just because they beat the Texans, I guess is what I'm getting at. There's a lot of people out there that want to see them win a big game.
I agree with that. And we'll talk a lot about that next week with San Francisco on the docket. But I also will say this, that I don't think the NFC is that good. I just think the NFC is, there's not that Kansas City. There's not that Pittsburgh. Like, the AFC has the three best teams in football: Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. Those, I think that's the order. It might even be Pittsburgh out of Kansas City. I don't know. I like that Pittsburgh team. I was listening to Guess the Lines before I got on, and the fact that Baltimore is a 5.5-point favorite against Pittsburgh next week, it's at Baltimore. But I'm like, ugh. Does no one just respect the Steelers team? Is it just me? But that just seems like way too many points. But yeah, I like the Steelers a lot.
Well, Steelers have a ton of, I mean, they have, you know, people forget how many weapons they have. I mean, and Juju Smith-Schuster has not even had that good of a year, and he's just sort of hanging there too.
Deontay
Johnson had two
touchdowns. I mean, Deontay Johnson.
I don't know who told me. I don't know where I heard it, but they're not using him the way they were in the years past. Hmm. They're using him like out of the slot now. So he's kind of, I don't know if he's out of position or just something he's getting used to, or maybe Roethlisberger's not seeing him as much. But yeah, I mean, they got Deontay Johnson. Chase Claypool has had a couple of big games. And obviously in the backfield, they're pretty good too with James Conner and Benny Snell. Yeah. I mean, I like that. I think I had them in the Super Bowl. If you go back and listen to our season preview podcast, if you will, that we recorded on opening night.
You have become Nostradamus all of a sudden.
I think I had the Rays and Dodgers in the World Series.
I'm telling you, I'm saying you're getting to that Nostradamus level. But
I mean, you may be right. You may be right about that.
I look at the Seahawks and I'm like, you know, our guy Murph was like, I don't want to play the Seahawks. I want them on the other side of the bracket. And I'm like, I don't know. I think San Francisco is more the team that I worry about just with everything. Like,
jeez, that division's good.
Oh, yeah. So for the people at home, you have to get up pretty early. You go to bed rather early to, like, because obviously, how upset were you that you missed that end of that game?
Well, I honestly didn't even watch the highlights or anything, so I don't really know what I missed. I saw that it was overtime, God. And I know Russell threw three picks, and he hasn't gotten destroyed in the media quite like some other quarterbacks do.
Oh, imagine that, right? Yeah, that's just interesting, you know? Yeah, Mr. Unlimited was terrible. I thought the three passes were bad. They were all bad. All three interceptions were unforced errors. They weren't, you know, that's a weird rivalry. They always seem to play weird games, but man, it was such a good football game. It was.
Well, that's just the Seahawks in general. They always play those.
Yeah.
They always play weird games. It's always within 6 points.
Kevin Clark, the Seahawks have never played a normal game. That's like maybe one of my favorite tweets ever. Like that's just an awesome tweet because it's so true and it's very simple and to the point. Like they never play a normal game. And, you know, to transition from back to the Packers. Packers and Vikings have played some weird ones. Not as much anymore. I feel like it was more when the Vikings would have Tavares Jackson at quarterback, some random guy. But I do think it's maybe lost a little shine with Kirk Cousins. But the thing was, and where we're getting into our topic, is Kirk Cousins was expected to challenge Aaron Rodgers. It was expected that the Vikings were going to be this team that was on par with the Packers for at least the next 3 years. There was some Super Bowl talk about the Vikings last year, and the Packers beat them twice. They won the division, and now the Vikings are 1-5. They trade Yannick Ngakoue, who they traded before the season started, as that push in the playoffs. I don't know if Dalvin Cook will be back this week. It's either the kitchen sink for the Vikings against the Packers to try to bring themselves back into this, or they're just dead. And we don't, and who knows? So I ask you, Mitch, do you see the Vikings as the top rival for the Packers in the NFC North in the next 3 years? And 3 years, because that's Rodgers' contract. So we'll cap it at three.
In the NFC North, I mean, that's a tough question. I think the Vikings are probably going to look different next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really hard to say. I think the Bears are going to look different. I mean, they're going to look. I have a hard time believing Nick Foles will be their quarterback next year. Right. He might be, I guess. He's still got a night, but, like, you know, Foles is the best backup in the NFL. That's what he is. And right. If he's your starter, you're seeing with the Bears, you're seeing what Nick Foles is. It's drive to drive with him. It's game to game. He can't seem to string together outside of what, the 2017 season with the Eagles, whatever that was.
He took over for Mr. Hyde.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't think the Bears are going to put their eggs in that basket. You know, they're not the Jaguars who are going to make that mistake. And I know Matt Stafford has drawn the attention of Aaron Rodgers this season and Rodgers even said it himself. Was it in McAfee's podcast or I think it was, right, where he said Stafford is probably his rival. And yeah, I guess it could be. You know, the Lions aren't terrible this year. They're 3-3. They've taken care of business, if you will, the last couple of weeks on the road against the Jaguars and the Falcons, respectively. It's hard to say, man. I'd probably go Bears just because of how good their defense is. You know, I think most of those key pieces will be there for a while. And the Bears have probably the best chance of sustained success. So I'll say the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, you build a great case for all three, and I will dissect as well. And the Bears' answer, I think, is it could be the right one. I think there's a couple variables that I'll bring up with the other teams. By the way, Foles has years left in his contract because it is that Jacksonville, it is that Jacksonville deal. So he has two more years. There's an out at 2022. And that's kind of where Foles is at. So Foles is at least locked in for another year. So they're going to have Foles for another year.
I could see them then getting a quarterback this year.
Yeah, they could
somewhere
get
in the draft, and
they
then
get Kyle Trask
Foles
from
Florida. For next year.
Yeah, they could get Kyle Trask like from Florida second round.
That would work.
And
it could be like a Fitzmagic situation, you know, where
right.
We got a guy who will get us through the first half of the season or more if things go well. But we also don't have any hesitation with pulling the plug on him either and putting the rookie in.
Yeah, and the Bears are kind of in cap hell, but at the end of the day, they have to justify the Khalil Mack deal. And so they're going to have to keep trying to contend for playoffs with Khalil Mack because they need to show, like, this is why we got him. Like, if they make the playoffs 3 out of the 4 years, I don't know what Khalil Mack's deal is offhand, but if they make the playoffs 3 out of the 4 years with Khalil Mack, it's been a success, right? Like, yeah, you haven't made the Super Bowl, but I go back to, and who knows, maybe, but I go back to, it's really fucking hard to win a Super Bowl. It's really fucking hard to get there. say it all the time. It needs to be drilled into people. Because, like, getting to the playoffs for a team like Chicago and maybe not having that much of a quarterback is successful. And, yeah, they're going to be a pesky thorn in the side. I don't know if they're coached well with Matt Nagy. And that's my same answer with the Lions is, like, I think the Lions have some real dudes. But Matt Patricia is such an awful coach. And the fact that Daryl Bevel is still giving Adrian Peterson the ball when DeAndre Swift is clearly a star. DeAndre Swift's good. Like, no one needs to tell the Lions that DeAndre Swift should be getting the ball 15 to 20 times. And it's like, just keep him under wraps. Like, don't like reveal the secret. Because the Lions have dudes. Like, the Lions have dudes all over their field. And I don't really think, Hockenson's good. I mean, they've signed some big free agents. They have Jeff Okuda now, who is a young corner who's only going to get better. I mean, they got guys. You're right that they can definitely be there. But what's really interesting is I follow maybe a Lion fan or two, is there are some that want, like, Matt Stafford to kind of get the Verlander treatment, where they're like, man, he deserves to play on a winner. He has an awful contract. I don't think anyone would trade for Matt Stafford. But there are some people who have, like, the point of view that Stafford should get a chance to, like, actually contend. And I'm like, I don't know. Is that just Lions fans being Lions fans? Because I do think they have a team, but the coach is just such a variable. And with the Vikings, as mentioned, they could look very different. And if the Vikings, let's say next year, they get Trey Lance, the kid from North Dakota State, they draft him like 7th. And you have Trey Lance, Dalvin Cook, and Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen. Okay. All of a sudden, like, you know, that's a real team. And with that defense as well, like that, but they always have cap hell. They're always having to figure out and cut guys. And this year it bit him in the ass. Xavier Rhodes got burned by Davante Adams every time. So maybe that was justification for not paying him. But you look at their corners they have, and I think I still want Xavier Rhodes, you know what I mean? But they didn't have any money, and that always happens. And for all the yard barkers and all the people who are like, well, the Packers don't spend money, and they don't do this, and they don't do that. Well, you look at a team like the Vikings, and that's the inverse. When you spend a bunch of money on these guys and you trade for dudes – you then are like, oh, shit, I can't pay player X, player Y, player Z. Like, that's why I was amazed that Randall Cobb got trade talk, because he makes $9 million a year. There's no way.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's part of the thing with Watt, too, is, you know, so his contract isn't guaranteed. But I thought it was guaranteed for next year.
I believe so. Unless I heard that wrong, I believe – it is non-guaranteed. I'm spending a lot of time on the spot track. Well, but
that's obviously something that, none of next year is guaranteed.
Chucky.
Okay.
Look at that. Look at Chucky contracts over here, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I think that there is what's interesting, and what is the final answer is it's a big, so you say the Bears, I will say the Lions, with the caveat that Matt Patricia isn't the head coach. If they get like Arthur Smith, right, from the Titans, who I think is really talented. I think Bieniemy is really talented. They get an actual offensive mind in that locker room. I think they're really scary. And so there are things I don't want as an NFC North fan. The things
how many times have you seen, and you bring up them, for example, them getting Trey Lance, and let's say they do get, you know, the offensive sort of, you know, younger. I mean, Eric Bieniemy probably isn't that young. He's probably like 50 years old by now. But, you know, how many times have you seen in the last couple of years, a top quarterback, you know, a top 10 picks, say, come in and be successful, like, right away? I mean, Baker Mayfield has been shaky at best, but I think he had one of his better games of his career this past Sunday. And I mean, he's still talented, and you know, there's guys, you know, so you know, to your, I guess my point is they could turn this thing around quickly. The Vikings could, if, you know, if Zimmer's gone, I assume he will be, and they'll probably figure something out with Cousins. I don't know what he's got left, if he's got another year, but
the Cousins thing, man, feels like they'd trade him to San Francisco, because Kyle Shanahan really knew how to work with Kirk Cousins. It's really weird. He's been the only coach that's been able to really play to his strengths. And now Jimmy has looked better the last 2 weeks, and Jimmy Garoppolo not dead yet, but I can't trust Jimmy Garoppolo to win a Super Bowl. I don't know if I can trust Kirk Cousins to win a Super Bowl. I know Kyle Shanahan's wizardry can only go so far. And I don't know. This is a really good test for the Niners with Garoppolo against the Seahawks, who I know don't have that good of a defense, but still in Seattle, even though there's no fans, it's tough. And then coming off a loss. And then you also have to play the Packers then on Thursday night. They go in there and they win both those games. The San Francisco team is kind of like, knock, knock, hello. We're right back in this thing. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the game this weekend. And
any Packer Vikings thoughts? Are you more in the camp of the Vikings are going to throw the kitchen sink and this game is close and down to the wire? Or do you think that all the Packers need to do is have a good first and second quarter, or first quarter and a half, and the Vikings will quit and the Vikings will just kind of say, all right, fuck this?
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get with the Vikings, because
I don't,
you know, like you said, if Dalvin Cook doesn't play, I mean, that's a bit of a white flag there. And then Kirk Cousins, I mean, it's just, you don't know which one you're going to get. You know, one game, actually this year he hasn't been very good at all. But, you know, it seems like every other game he's getting into a fight with, or a shouting match with a receiver in the sideline. And
yeah,
you know, he doesn't seem like that type of guy. Yeah, I know. It's funny that those two guys, you know, those two guys are going at it. But for some reason, those guys don't get the negative media attention as well about that.
Again, weird that the two guys who look like white bread, look like Wonder Bread, don't get any fucking heat for that. Strange.
It's weird how JJ Watt gives three-word answers after a game and he gets nothing, but Cam Newton pouts after he loses the biggest game of his career. And he gets just destroyed by the entire country for like a month.
I think that whole Cam Newton situation, by the way, if it happened in 2020 or 2019, would be treated a lot differently.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we've moved past that as a, like, even the LeBron like respect thing people didn't jump down his throat for, which they should have, but everyone's like, oh, LeBron can't offend him, because that means get no sources.
When was that Cam Newton stuff? That was like, what, 2015 already?
Yeah, that was 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was pre-Trump.
Yes.
Even. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, are we going to continue with tradition and do a podcast on Election Day and try to predict the election before it actually ends?
No, because that'll be – that is a glued to your TV type night.
Yeah, I've CC class anyways, so I'm not available. But yeah, for those who want to dig through the archives, Mitch and I taped a podcast on election night, and Mitch and I in 2016, and Mitch and I were just absolutely flummoxed. We've told a story before, but we were like, "Is Trump gonna win Florida?" Like, we're kind of all like, is this going to happen? And we're like, no. And then I came home from my then girlfriend, now fiance's house, parents' house. I was there to like 2 o'clock, like watching the election results. It was wild. It's going to be wild. So probably not a podcast, but anywho, moving on. Real quick prediction. I got the Packers 30-23. I think it's going to be right around where the spread is right now.
Yeah. So it's what, 7?
It's, yeah, 6.5, 7.
Okay. I think it will be Packers win by a field goal.
Ooh, close.
Vikings do play like it's their Super Bowl. And I'm going to say, 31-28.
Okay. A lot of points.
So, yeah, Vikings defense is bad.
Oh,
Packers isn't that great.
Speaking of a lot of points, the regular season Bucks, the RSBs, as I like to call them now, which is kind of good, and I think I'm going to use that going forward. What do you think of that? You like that?
Well, I mean, sure.
But the regular season Bucks, they enjoy it. I shouldn't call them the regular season Bucks. That's a little demeaning. They're a good team, Milwaukee Bucks. They are maybe getting started earlier than we thought. It was crazy. I had like an opening day post on Instagram a year ago yesterday. No, Saturday. And I was like, fuck. The NBA season started a year ago today. And it just ended like 3 weeks ago. And now the NBA is like, well, guys, I know you were playing for a long time, but we need to like make sure our schedule for the year after stays intact. So we're starting up in December, whether you like it or not. Now, I've heard Danny Green said on a podcast yesterday that he doesn't think LeBron would play for the first month if that's the case. I think that's a little dramatic, Danny. I could see it a week. I could see a couple weeks. But I don't know if the league cares. I think the league is like, look, if you guys sign this, I think there's a lot of teams that are itching to play. I think the Detroits of the world, the Atlantas, the Chicagos, who haven't played since March, they are chomping at the bit. Even teams who got eliminated early, like our Bucks, are probably going to be ready to play in December. So I ask you, Mitch, does it favor a team like the Bucks to kind of have that, to have the early exit in this scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be hungry, I think, to get going and avenge their disappointing finish to the season. I think that's, you know, Giannis has been enjoying himself per social media.
Yeah.
In very honest ways, just had like a yacht in what I can only assume is the, what's the body of water outside of Athens that I'm
Mediterranean
blanking on right now?
The Mediterranean.
Mediterranean.
Yeah, there you go.
I almost said like the, what is it? The Aegean Sea or something like that.
Yeah, that's wrong, Mitch. You Carmen San Diego are not.
Okay. Well, you're enjoying my error a little too much.
I'm sorry. The guy who corrects people for pronouncing the last names is mad at me because you can't get simple fucking geography.
I think I am right. I think I might be right. I would look into that if I were you.
All right.
But
all
anyway,
right. We'll fact check that later.
I just did a quick Google and it's definitely in the area.
Okay.
So
all right, I'll give you half credit. You didn't say like Baltics.
Yeah, I didn't say like the Indian Ocean. he's enjoying himself, but I think nobody works harder than him. And let's see what the team looks like. They do have some decisions.
Oh yeah.
It could be. I mean, I don't think it's going to look night and day different, but it might. You know, and it's going to be a whirlwind, I think, the next 2 months.
Yeah.
Until we hopefully get this thing going. I don't know. You know, again, pro sports are a player-driven thing, and no more so than the NBA. And who runs who represents the players, whether or not they have the official title?
LeBron.
And it's, you know, I think that at the end of the day, if that gets through, I think LeBron will be there opening night. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you know, or he might get his ring and then go away for 2 weeks or something, you know, might play opening night to appease everyone. That's fine with me, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I think that would favor them. I think, you know, I think 2 months off is enough time. But granted, I don't play professional sports. they did just have 4.5 months off in between that.
Right.
And, but it was a weird 4.5 months. I understand it wasn't an off season. It was probably a lot of trying to stay as in shape as you possibly can without getting sick or getting anyone else sick, or, you know, doing what you could with everything shut down for a good few months there, depending on what city you live in or whatever. A lot of these guys live in California, so they probably couldn't do shit the whole time.
Right.
But yeah, I mean,
I think
the Bucks will have had what, 3.5 months off then, if they do start around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had, you know, time, and I'm sure that they have, you know, by the time the finals are over, I imagine that a lot of the Bucks players came out of their depression and are ready to go. So yeah, it helps them.
Yeah, the only drawback, the only devil's advocate that I could play is, if, to your point, they're very different, that it could take a little time to gel, and that it's not going to be perfect because you don't get as much practice time, and you're trying to make sure that there's nothing COVID-wise springing up, and who knows what COVID looks like in the middle of December. And you're kind of, you know, making sure that the practices aren't necessarily bunched up together. And so, yeah, there might be a little bit less team chemistry, and that, but I do think Bud's system is such that you don't necessarily need it. I don't know. I mean, I know you
got to get, they don't even practice to begin with, really. So
yeah. Right. So is that even
like, they just
really
go in and shoot free throws.
Is that really a factor? Like, I think the teams who like are favored the most by like an early start are Brooklyn and Milwaukee. I think, and Philly, I would throw those three teams in there. Maybe Philly a little less, and Brooklyn both have new coaches, but I think Durant and Kyrie are going to be just ready and raring to go. And I won't be surprised when there are podcast topics about, is Brooklyn for real, and they're 10-2, and should we be worried about Brooklyn? It will all, that's going to happen.
It's going to be such a nightmare next year.
Yeah.
And people are still going to carry the water for the West.
Right.
Even though it's ass.
You're right.
And it's like, there'll be seven. I mean, Philly, well, they got Doc Rivers now. I mean, who will say what you want. I mean, you can probably lock them in for, I would think, 45 wins.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're going to be a tough game.
The only team that could take a step back is Toronto, because if Toronto decides to move on from Kyle Lowry, or they decide to kind of pseudo rebuild, right? And maybe they're like, we have Nick Nurse, we can get an 8 seed. Oh, by the way, hearing Jackie McMullen on Bill Simmons' podcast say that Indiana's new coach is like a Nick Nurse clone gave me like the hives.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, yeah, I mean, that's not great. That is less
than
ideal.
Indiana was, they're definitely included in that. I mean, it's going to, I mean, and again, in the NBA, you know, in the off season, you can build a case for a team, but you know, there's always injuries and stuff like that. And, but yeah, I mean, shit, the Bulls could even be risky.
Yeah, Bulls,
I know a lot
yeah,
of people.
The Bulls are going to be sneaky. I had the Bulls in 8 seed last year. I thought the Bulls were kind of ready for that step up, and they, who knows, maybe in a longer
but
season.
But they were coached by a middle school coach.
Right.
So now they actually have a, you know, an NBA level head coach guy who's sort of proven and has dealt with some personalities, you know, in his day with Oklahoma City. And but yeah, I mean, the East, you got in the Central, it's Bucks and Pacers, I would think, are 1 and 2. And should, I mean, who knows, what if the Bucks trade for Oladipo? The Bucks could have to give up Bledsoe in that trade, and Bledsoe and Brogdon have worked well in the past together. Obviously they won 60 games with the Bucks together.
Right.
I think you'd probably have to do a lot of convincing on that, but and that would be my first argument. But and then, you know, in the Atlantic, is, remember like 5 years ago when the Atlantic was just horrible?
Oh yeah.
Now it's like the best division in basketball.
Yeah, and you just have the Knicks kind of just hanging out in the corner. But
and then Miami will probably do their thing where
the Knicks could get Chris Paul. What if the Knicks add Chris Paul? Like, that's a legit, tangible rumor because his old agent is running the Knicks. And what if they get Chris Paul? And then what if they try to get Paul George? That's kind of the rumor out there, that they're going to swing hard and they're just going to try to rebuild on the fly with Leon Rose kind of running the thing. Who knows? But yeah, you're right.
I will have to believe that when I see it with the Knicks.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because the Knicks are in on everybody, right? And then
It's always all of a sudden,
oh, they suck. That's right. And then we have no way to get these guys.
Sure.
So let's, you know, I don't know.
But yeah, to your point about Miami, I'm sorry, I derailed you. Miami, and then you have Atlanta, who knows? Is Atlanta gonna finally be the team that everybody expects it to be?
Yeah, they're still really young, and there are, I think, a lot of level-headed people out there that realize that Trae Young is, how do I say it?
He's an Instagram model for men, or he's a male Instagram model. That's what he is, in a weird way. Follow me here. I fucked this up, but I'll land this plane. He's built for Instagram. He's built for the House of Highlights. Like, it's right. Just eye emojis, Trae Young shooting threes, Trae Young built different. Like, that's all Trae Young is.
Right. He's not. He'll give you 45 against the Hornets and hit 10 threes from 35 feet and everybody will go nuts. But it's like, oh yeah, they're 11 and 37. And, what are we doing? Right. I mean, unless they're young guys, again, they went through some shit last year with injuries, and John Collins was suspended right away, and he's probably their best player at the end of the day.
Oh yeah.
And so the bottom feeders in the East. I mean, Charlotte, probably don't have to worry about them. I just said the Knicks. I'm not worried, even with Chris Paul.
No.
If that does happen, they don't really scare me that much. I just can't see Chris Paul wanting that.
And could you really see Chris Paul and Thibs working together?
Yeah, for about 2 weeks.
That's like Jimmy Butler. I don't know. Maybe because Thibs loved Jimmy Butler. Chris Paul has a lot of the Jimmy Butler kind of thing in him. But also Thibs is a control freak. So that's a whole other side of it. Yeah. I like it. We did an East preview and no one saw it coming. It's a good conference. It's a good conference. And this fast restart, it'll be really interesting to just see what they do. Do they do something where the Bucks and Bulls are playing three straight games and it's like a baseball, or two straight games? Or the Bucks go up to Minnesota and they play Minnesota twice. And, they go to LA and they play.
Oh, so you think they would do that and maybe do more like regionalized scheduling?
I think they're going to play everybody. Don't get me wrong, but
they wouldn't play at Minnesota twice then. I think it would be, West Coast trip. You just play the Clippers and the Lakers, that's two games. Or, well, I don't know, maybe.
How would that work? I think they're gonna do something funky. I don't know what it is. I will say, one of the things that is not being talked about with the early start and probably being lost on the players is they need to build in if they have postponements, kind of like baseball, right? Like, they need to kind of have that buffer where if a team, let's just say the Kings, has a COVID outbreak and they need to be shelved for 2 weeks, that you can reconfigure the schedule. Because if you pack it in, then you're fucked. And then you're like, oh my God, this team's playing five straight days. They don't want to do that. And again, I think players are very short-sighted. I know Danny Green's like, dude, I just got done playing basketball. Like, that's kind of where Danny Green also was not really feeling the bubble, per what a lot of people had said. Wasn't really a bubble guy. So for Danny Green to be like, yeah, LeBron won't play for the first month, that's probably out of context. Is he going to take some days off? For sure. You're going to have some real load management. But if you think about the last four teams, the only guy that's probably going to do that is LeBron. Other than that, Jimmy Butler could play a season tomorrow. Jimmy Butler would be ready to play a season tomorrow if you asked him. Jokic, Murray, they'll be ready to go in December. Most of Boston will. They're young. Maybe Gordon Hayward is a guy who, you know, takes it easy early on. But
if he's still there.
Yeah, exactly. He might be in Indiana for all we know, which would be, I mean, perfect.
So does that work for – I was thinking, does that work with the Oladipo trade? Like, could Boston get Oladipo if they flip Hayward?
No, the trade that's been out there is Hayward for Miles Turner. That's been floated. I've seen that a few times. Look, God bless you if you get Miles Turner. I don't think Miles Turner makes you a finals contender. I just don't.
But that would give the Celtics like a pretty legit starting center.
Yeah. Even though, it would be a definite upgrade over Daniel Tice.
Yeah. Tice has been a fit for what they do, though.
Tice isn't bad. Tice is a nice role player.
Yeah.
But we should move on. We talked a lot of hoops. We talked a good amount of hoops. The last is the Badgers. And I don't know. We are taping this. And part of the reason we're putting this at the end, it's not because we want to bury Graham Mertz, but it's just we don't know the info. If Graham Mertz has COVID, then yeah, this Badger season doesn't really matter, does it? Like, I hate to be so sort of defeatist, cynical, but it's kind of what you said a lot about the Brewers season this year, where you're like, the season doesn't matter. It's not important. Like, if Mertz is out for 3 weeks, it's half your season. Like, it's a dumb rule. Do you like where you like Badger football? You were excited about Mertz. We went and watched them on Friday. Like, what happens to your excitement level if Mertz is out for 3 weeks? It just become what I just laid out?
Yeah, I mean, it would be. And then I saw whether their third string guy didn't practice or something.
Oh,
as well.
Oh, no.
Chase Wolf or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So then what, Danny Vandenboom?
Yeah, I guess.
Would be your guy. Kimberly, shout out to Kimberly.
Is that where he's from? I didn't know.
I think so, yeah. I looked it up the other day because I Googled Graham Mertz or something, and he was in the suggested people.
For those wondering at home, the Dutch big in eastern Wisconsin. So Kimberly was like a minus 175 if I had to guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of Vandenhoovels and Vandenbooms and Van this and Van that in the – yeah, from probably Sheboygan up to Green Bay.
Utsberg.
So,
Flying Utsberg, Dutchman.
Yeah, the Flying Dutchman, exactly. And
it was hot dogs a football game. We went up there. Little side story.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Treat us well.
So it is half your season. I don't have the three games in front of me. Who do they play?
Nebraska, Purdue, and Michigan.
Yeah, that Michigan game would be tough.
Oh, yeah. Michigan. Purdue would be tough. I mean, Purdue looked all right. I mean, they beat Iowa at home. Iowa's kind of going through some shit. Like, Aiden O'Connell looked all right. I mean, they didn't have their head coach, and they didn't have their best player. And they beat a decent Iowa team, and it wasn't fluky. So, I think Purdue's – yeah, I think that's a really – that's where I'm like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, it won't. Like, it's just at this point, it's house money. Like, you win four games, you go 4-4, you get ready for next season. Mertz, the hype train for Mertz would be out of this world. And you just move forward with that. But
I guess just lose sooner than later in that case. If Mertz is out, because it's like, don't win the first two and then get shit pumped at Michigan.
Well, although if that happened, like that's not the worst case scenario, because Nebraska's in the West, so is Purdue. Michigan's in the East. You lose to Michigan, you do have a loss, but Minnesota already has a loss. You've now given losses to Nebraska and Purdue. Yeah, that actually would be an okay scenario. I know what you're saying. I agree. It would be very classic Badgers, right?
don't lead me
To
on, yeah.
yeah, they would just tease your dick as much as they can, and then at the end
Well,
of it, they'll just stomp on it.
here's classic Badgers would be to win these next three games, then get Mertz back and then lose.
Yeah. Yes. That is perfect. Vandenboom off the right edge, bootleg against Michigan to win at the buzzer. Everybody's nuts. We're getting Mertz back. We're going to the national championship.
And then
Mertz is
lose at
terrible.
Northwestern the
Oh.
following week.
Oh man, that's exactly what's gonna happen. That's literally the situation. That I cannot draw up a better Badger situation. That is exactly what's gonna happen. Like, yeah, I book it. Like, we play the tapes in like a month, and we're gonna be like, we told you so. God,
Because isn't
that would go to North.
Northwestern's pretty good this year, aren't they? Like they're okay. They have like a new offensive coordinator,
Yeah,
new
it's
play caller.
amazing. It's like, if I was a Northwestern fan, do you know how mad I'd be that you kept around this old fuck for 7 years, and all you needed was an offensive coordinator, and maybe it would have been good? Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, brought him out of the dark ages. Incredible.
Yeah,
Like,
you have like an like you've actually it's like, you finally discovered broadband internet.
right.
And
Thank fucking God Mark Murphy didn't hire Pat Fitzgerald. I like Pat Fitzgerald a lot, but man, that's talk about a guy just not for the NFL. That's type one right there.
right.
Big Ten, man, being back was so great. Like, I didn't realize kind of like how much I missed Big Ten. I watched good, even though I was busy Saturday more than I would have liked to be. I watched a
Yeah.
good amount of that Indiana Penn State game. Like, I was going back and forth with the Indiana Penn State game was wild. Such an awesome
Yeah, I
game.
mean, it was Saturday was, I mean, I didn't do anything and it was like, didn't matter. I just like, it was a good night of sports, just a good night to sit at home and have a couple of beverages. And it started kind of with that Indiana Penn State, then the Michigan Minnesota was a hype game, didn't end up being as good as we had hoped, but it was still, kind of one of those things where you were glad to see it happening. And
Got a lot of
then you had
offense too.
then you had an you had yeah you had an offense, and then you had an epic World Series finish, and really a game in general. And that was really just a fun evening of sports again. So, there's been a couple of those lately, and it just was like, I can't believe we went 4.5 months without this crap.
Right,
And
exactly. I mean, that's such a great perspective, man. It's like we at this point, you feel like you're spoiled rotten. Like, you're gonna lose baseball here, whether it's Tuesday night or Wednesday night, and then it's just football, and it will be football until whenever hockey or basketball gets started. And but you'll have the MAC. Literally the day after the election, MAC football is back on Wednesday nights. MACtion is back. Talk about healing a nation. You have MAC football. Just
I don't dabble as much,
you
but
don't dabble in the Toledo versus a Bowling Green on a nice Wednesday night.
I don't think many people actually enjoy Akron against Miami of Ohio.
True. It's fairly true, actually. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it here. Like, you're right. Like, they're on Wednesday night because it's like a fun thing. Like, not to.
Here's a good sparkle. Name the MAC, as many MAC teams as you can.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
We can do
How
this,
many are
man.
there?
I think there's 12. All right. So we got
You
Buffalo,
pull you
Coach.
pull it up. You pull it up quick, and I'll see what I can
No,
do.
no, no. You pull it. You want to do it? I'll either do it or you can do it. You want me to pull it up or you want to do it? I can. I think I can nail this. So if you don't think you can
Right.
nail it, I'll pull it up.
I will. I got it. I don't think I could.
Okay.
So before I cheat here, go ahead.
All right. We got Buffalo, coached by Lance Leopold of the – I'm not going to name coaches. Just shout out to Lance Leopold. We have Western Michigan. We have Eastern Michigan. We have Central Michigan. Fire up Chips on the last one there. We got Toledo. We have Akron. We have Miami of Ohio. You can't forget Ball State. You got Ohio, just the Bobcats.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Bowling Green?
Earlier.
Okay.
You're missing two.
Two. Northern Illinois. How could I forget about the Huskies?
Yeah.
I'm almost there. Shit. Oh, God. It's a Toledo.
I got two names that'll give it away.
No. Don't. Not yet. Did I say Miami of Ohio?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
You said Toledo, right?
I said Toledo, yeah.
Yeah. So there's still one more in Ohio.
In Ohio. Shit. Bowling Green, Toledo, Ohio. Fuck. Just give me a hint.
Julian Edelman.
Fuck. Kent State. Yeah.
Yep.
Golden not flashes. That, I was
gonna say Travis Shaw.
Cool. I didn't know Travis. Actually, that would have been harder. Travis. Oh, man. Damn it. That's gonna drive me crazy. This I actually like this. This might be a new segment for us. Just how many conference teams do you think Charlie can name?
Like go Mountain West next week.
Okay, you can't like you got to spring it on me though. Like I can't know. You just pick a conference. You can pick a basketball conference too. Those are harder though. I'll admit, those are a lot harder. Especially like the Summit. I don't know. I mean, it's like North Dakota State and South Dakota State, but that's about it. But I like this. This was fun. I'm always in for a little bit of trivia. But yes, we will be back next week, probably earlier again, because we have a Thursday night game between the Packers and Niners. We'll either be talking to you before the election or after the election. And who the hell knows what life will look like either or. It might just still be the same because we won't have a winner for like 2 months. And then, which is the final cherry on top of 2020.
Yeah, we won't know until Chris. What's sooner? The NBA starts or we know who our actual president is?
Oh, man. I would say NBA minus 105 if I had to snow tap WI Casino that. But yeah, that's close, man. I think that's really good. If I were you, I might tweet that. I'd save that for election day. Nobody steal that tweet. That's a Mitch tweet. If I see it, I will, I'll call it out. That's a good one.
CC me on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Copy me on that tweet if you see it. Cause that is a good one. Hopefully I remember that.
Yeah. That's a copyright.
Hit it. You know all the mail-in ballots and shit, the way all the absentee voting is.
Yeah, it's going
to
be.
Is because of the COVID and everything, people don't want to go in. And I actually tried to go vote early today in the lovely city of Wauwatosa.
Yeah.
And my polling location is not available for early voting.
That
so
sucks.
I'd have to go to City Hall, which I'm sure is, you know, probably packed if that's the only place in Tulsa.
I don't know if it's really the only voting place in Tulsa. I could maybe talk to a longtime Tulsa resident, my father, and he could tell me. And we could offline about this. But yeah, I early voted today actually in Milwaukee at the Kramer Library. I won't tell you to go vote because people fucking tell you that enough. But I will just say it was very easy. It was painless. So if you don't want the lines, I recommend it, but do whatever the hell you want to do. I don't care. It's your choice. That's why we have democracy. We can do whatever the hell we want.
And now it's time to wrap up the podcast.
Yes, exactly. All right. Take care, guys. Tapping the ballot. Take care of yourselves. Have a good one. We'll talk next week.
Happy Halloween.
Oh. There you go.